Hello, everyone, and welcome to Headwise, the weekly video cast and podcast of the National Headache Foundation. I'm Dr. Lindsay Weitzel. I'm the founder of Migraine Nation, and I have a history of chronic and daily migraine that began at the age of 4. I'm excited to tell you that I am here today with Dr. Dawn Buse. Hello, Dr. Buse. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Weitzel, and hi to everyone listening and watching this podcast.
We are so excited when she's here. Dr. Buse is a clinical professor of neurology and a psychologist who specializes in headache. She is a very regular guest. She is so knowledgeable. We love to hear what she has to say. And today we are doing a very practical episode on anxiety and migraine or other headache disorders. We are doing an episode where we can do sort of an anxiety checkup. In other words, is it affecting me or is it sneaking up on me sort of a thing? We hear about anxiety related to our migraine or other chronic head pain all the time. Much like depression and migraine, I think it can sneak up on us. And we're just hoping to give everyone the tools to know what to do when this happens and then recommend some practical steps. I always like to set the stage for these types of discussions by bringing up the fact that I feel like when anxiety or depression are presented in the setting of migraine, it's often a little bit backwards. I feel like people feel like sometimes they're told they failed in some way in their mentality when they have migraine. And that's just not how I personally see it. I feel like we have to be superheroes in the setting of our mentality when we have migraine or chronic pain. And so I always want to set that stage first, that I do feel like we are super strong people for what we go through, and that I just want everyone to know that. So I wanted to ask you, Dr. Buse, what are your thoughts on how anxiety is approached or presented in the migraine community?
Well, in the medical research, mm-hmm. it's well known that anxiety and migraine are comorbid. And that mm-hmm. means that they occur together mm-hmm. More often or at higher rates than chance. Mm-hmm. Also, not surprisingly, anxiety and depression are comorbid, and migraine and depression are comorbid. So it's kind of a bit of a triad that they are mm-hmm. all commonly occurring together. Some people may feel more anxiety, some may feel more depression, some may feel both. And so we know when you go to a headache clinic or even when you go to your healthcare professional, your primary care doctor, anxiety and depression are commonly assessed at every visit mm-hmm. Because they are so common. When we think about anxiety when it comes to migraine, we can think about it kind of specific to migraine. And we often call that kind of the anxiety that happens between attacks, we call it interictal. So we call the attacks that ictus. We mm-hmm. call the time in between interictal anxiety. And we even have a measure for it, an instrument for it, because it's so common. Mm-hmm. And we can talk a little bit more as we go through the podcast about all the outcomes, but we were amazed to find what a strong predictor interictal anxiety was of seeking care for migraine and of seeking treatment and of disability and quality of life. So anxiety is a big player. It's an important key to your well-being when you're living with migraine.
Right. I think that as someone who's had chronic and daily migraine since childhood, I didn't really have much of a pain-free memory. I think that putting words to that, I like to say it's sometimes, I think, hard for people who suddenly are just in pain so often to really have that belief that the world is going to take care of them or that they're going to be okay. So I think that the anxiety sort of makes sense, sort of as someone who's been in pain most of my life. So it's not surprising from a practical standpoint. And so I think it's a good thing to talk about and get it out there that, you know, it's okay to discuss the anxiety because it really does make sense in the setting of people that are in this much pain and have this disease. So let's go on.
Completely logical. The anxieties are often about things that have happened many times and that will probably happen again. Yeah. So there's worry about, should I make plans for the weekend? Yeah. Should I RSVP to this party? Should I plan a vacation? Should I take a promotion at work? Should I take a traveling mm-hmm. job? Should I apply to graduate school? They are anxieties about making future plans and having to break those plans or not being mm-hmm. able to live up to the commitments, worries about what people will say about them or think about them, right. how they'll be reflected, what might happen in the workplace, what might happen at school. These are all very logical. Mm-hmm. There are also a lot of anxieties about bigger picture. How do I plan my life when I'm yeah. living with this chronic, unpredictable disease? There's worries about how migraine affects one's finances, how it affects your relationship with your children if you're a parent, how it really affects your relationship with your spouse or your partner if you have a spouse mm-hmm. or partner. There are many worries about life with migraine that are entirely logical.
Yes.
And yet, we still want to help someone quiet them down and calm them mm-hmm. down because it's just hard on your body and your mind mm-hmm. to live in this kind of ramped up place.
Yeah.
So by ramped up, I'm thinking about the fight or flight response, the mm-hmm. sympathetic nervous system being on alert. And it is not easy to be on alert all the time. Yeah. It's hard on your body. It's hard on your immune system. You get sick more often. It's hard on your weight. You actually gain more weight. Mm-hmm. It's hard on your habits and your well-being and your enjoyment of life. It's just a hard way to live. So while they are entirely logical, we do still want to help people kind of quiet and control those worries.
Yeah, I think that was a very important way to start this conversation. I'm glad that we went there, and thank you so much. So let's go on. So probably what's the next most important question to get this out of the way? Can anxiety make our migraine disease worse?
Well, anxiety makes life with migraine harder. Mm-hmm. Anxiety and migraine combined make quality of life worse, make disability mm-hmm. worse, may make people stop making plans, stop making commitments because they're worried about what will happen if they have to cancel or can't be there. So mm-hmm. the combination of anxiety and migraine is harder to live with than migraine on its own.
Right. Okay. So I think many of us with migraine, especially chronic migraine, can slip into a pattern of anxiety without noticing. I heard someone say recently that the person with anxiety might not be the best person to notice that they have anxiety. In fact, the numbers I hear quoted most often, and these are the lower numbers, these aren't clinic-based numbers, these are just in the general population, are that about 20% of people just out there in the population with episodic migraine and 30 to 50% of people with chronic migraine experience anxiety. You might want to talk about how some of those numbers, the numbers might actually be bigger. How can we tell if we are being negatively affected by anxiety?
Right. So rates of anxiety increase with the number of monthly headache days. They mm-hmm. increase with pain intensity of those migraines or headaches. Mm-hmm. And they, in fact, are associated with worse quality of life and more disability. Yeah. Our good news is that it seems that when we can successfully treat migraine and lower those number of monthly headache days, anxiety also improves, as does depression as well, if that's an issue for someone. Mm-hmm. I want to step back and provide mm-hmm. a couple of definitions. So okay. if we're thinking about a clinical diagnosis, we would use the term generalized anxiety disorder, meaning just thoughts and worries are pretty constant, right. but also some physical symptoms. It often interferes with cognition. It's hard to think clearly when your mind is so busy and full. Yeah. There might be physical restlessness. People might be jittery. They might shake their hands or their feet or have a hard time sitting still. They might feel agitated or short-tempered or irritable. Mm. They might have no appetite, or they might kind of overeat because they're kind of doing something with their hands and with their body and kind of distracting themselves. That's what we call generalized anxiety disorder. Mm. There's also some specific types of anxiety. One is panic disorder, mm-hmm. and that's when someone has panic attacks. Panic attack is a feeling of a rush of extreme anxiety that mm-hmm. come often out of the blue. It comes on very quickly. And someone's going to feel all of that fight or flight response. Their heart rate's going to speed up really fast. Mm-hmm. It may be hard to breathe and they feel like they can't catch their breath. All the other things that happen during the fight or flight response happen, but it's fast and it's intense. Mm-hmm. And it really can be scary. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think that they're dying or having a heart attack, and it can be very embarrassing. It can be very debilitating. So that's panic disorder. Mm-hmm. It is very treatable, is what I want to tell people, that cognitive behavioral therapy and relaxation therapy and biofeedback can be incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some specific anxieties or social phobia, where there's fear of being around people or in large crowds or public speaking or at a party, those sorts of things, or some specific phobias. That's where you get into fear of spiders and snakes and heights and claustrophobia. And there's a fear of clowns. There's a phobia mm-hmm. for almost everything.
You for everything. Eat. Yeah.
So in migraine, mm-hmm. we see at least the first three mm-hmm. be more common, and that's going to include the generalized anxiety disorder, the panic right. disorder, and the social phobia. And yeah. they're all very logical where they're coming from, as you uh-huh. said, and they often might occur together.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, like I said, there are treatments that can help all of them.
Okay.
And life's a little easier when you don't have this overlay of anxiety on top of it.
Right. Okay. So if we determine anxiety is a problem for us, what can we do? Where do we start?
Well, your primary care doctor is a great place to start. That person is probably already asking about anxiety when you do your annual physicals. They usually mm-hmm. have a two item or a seven item anxiety checklist called the GAD. Two mm-hmm. or the GAD-7. You can actually look that up yourself online and take it right now if you wanted to see where you are with those symptoms. So they're probably going to check in about it. Generally, our therapies are going to be behavioral. Medication is not highly recommended for anxiety. Medication for anxiety can be sedating and it can mm-hmm. be habit forming. And so when someone does use medication for anxiety, the doctor is usually going to want to kind of keep it time limited, make sure that it's not used at higher doses or increasing doses. So they kind of keep an eye on it so that people don't get into a situation where they're reliant on it or it becomes a habit right. for them.
Okay.
So we're going to start with making sure those healthy lifestyles are in check. How's your sleep quality? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you able to sleep at all? Often people with anxiety are having a really hard time sleeping because they have mm-hmm. insomnia, because the worries and thoughts keep them up. Mm-hmm. Or if they wake up in the middle of the night, it's hard to go back to sleep. So that's when we want to really work on those good relaxation strategies, the podcast, the meditation, the deep yeah. breathing, the visual imagery, all those things to take that worry out, put it up on the shelf so you can go back to sleep.
Right.
You know, check in. Are you exercising? Are you moving? Are you getting that exercise in? It can be hard when you're living with migraine, when you're in pain or any chronic pain condition, to get enough exercise and movement. So we're going to think about that. Just thinking about healthy nutrition, hydration, avoiding a lot of the stimulants, not only the caffeine, but the energy drinks have hidden energizers in them, yeah. and they may be kind of labeled. They're labeled quite a few different things, sugar. So I want to think about moderating all of those things that rev up our nervous system that we can actually drink or eat. So we start with those healthy lifestyle, do a check there. So I know you said we're doing an anxiety check on your lifestyle. How's that tweak? And then we're going to think about from the next level down is going to be one, noticing when your body's activated, and two, learning to calm the body physically. Right. And those can be things like trying biofeedback. Biofeedback means you're just hooked up to sensors that feed back physiologic processes of which we're not usually aware. You're going to see your breathing rate, your heart rate, your muscle tension, galvanic skin responses, goosebumps and sweaty palms. So when you're doing biofeedback, you're going to see it increase as your worries and thoughts increase and your muscle tension, your body increases. And then you're going to learn and practice ways to calm both your thoughts and your body. That can through meditations, mindfulness, progressive muscle relaxation, holding a muscle, holding a whole muscle group, clenching it, letting it go, doing that from head to toe, listening to a guided visual imagery where you imagine you're in a beautiful, relaxing place, any place you want to be, or doing something even more focused. Like I said, you take that thought in your mind, you put it in a box, you label that box in your brain, you put it up on a shelf and you say, I'm putting that away for tonight. I'll get to it in the morning. Kind of doing these almost, they actually come from the world of clinical hypnosis. These kind of talking yourself through changing your thoughts. Okay. CBT is our mainstay. It's called cognitive behavioral therapy. It really helps us think about how we think.
Right.
You know, we can't.
I love CBT. Yeah.
Oh, me too. Me too. I am a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And we all, everyone listening, probably already knows some CBT strategies, even if they don't realize they know them.
Mm-hmm.
So CBT will look at the ways we think and see if those get us into stress reactions.
Mm-hmm.
All or nothing thinking, which we call dichotomous thinking or black and white thinking, catastrophizing. Mm-hmm. One thing happens and we assume this is going to happen, that's going to happen, everything's going to fall apart. We look at these thinking errors that get us into anxiety states and replace them, not with a Pollyanna life is perfect approach, but a realistic approach. You know, realistically, how much pain are we in? How much stress are we in? What are our resources? Can we replace this thought with a more realistic, balanced thought? And in turn, you know, kind of create an action list that's a little more to get us the steps we need to do to get what we need to do accomplished. Now, realistically, there are things in life that are just hard, that are just scary, that are just awful. It's true. And I'm not saying that we're going to wish any of that away. We really want to work on these daily hassles that keep us kind of revved up, that keep our nervous system in the fight or flight response, sympathetic activation, as opposed to rest and digest or parasympathetic response. We want to start to, of course, we need some of that fight or flight. There's times when we need it, times when we need the energy, we need the activation, but there's a lot more times when we want to calm down and get that parasympathetic nervous system more in charge and kind of calm, slow, quiet, especially at times when there's nothing we can do about it. So you've laid down to go to sleep. You're not going to keep working on X, Y, and Z. You're not going to change this or that.
Right.
That's the time that we really need to turn off those worries and anxieties, those thoughts. Maybe we keep a pad of paper by the bed, write down the things we need to do, get back to them tomorrow. But we really have to calm and quiet the mind and the body.
Right.
So CBT is exactly a great way to get there. It could be with a psychologist, a mental health professional in person. It may be in a book. It may be on an app. But any way you choose to get to one of those therapies will benefit you. In the same family is the mindfulness-based therapies, dialectic behavior therapy, acceptance and commitment therapy. They're all kind of the same family. They are a little different in their focus, but they all have some similar underlying basic philosophies and can help
really
manage anxiety.
I like that you brought up books and apps because not all of us can get into a professional right away, et cetera. So there are a lot of books and apps out there on mindfulness, on CBT, et cetera. What about meditation? Is there a role for meditation and anxiety?
Absolutely. So there are some mindfulness-based approaches. There's mindfulness-based stress reduction and mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, two different approaches using mindfulness and meditation to quiet and calm the system. And you would practice meditation and mindfulness on a daily basis. There's also great data showing that mindfulness-based cognitive therapy is helpful for migraine management as well. So you're going to get a twofer. You're going to get some benefits in multiple different ways.
Okay.
And to learn mindfulness, you can find a group near you. You can talk to a mental health professional. You can seek out books and apps as well. So there's quite a few ways to go down that path as well.
Okay. And then you did say that we can discuss our anxiety with a healthcare provider. Is there any difference who we talk to? Do we talk to our headache doctor? Do we talk to our primary care doctor about our anxiety?
Either one of those people is great to talk to. They're probably going to do a screening and help you find a referral. Mm-hmm. Neither of those people is really going to be the person who walks you through the therapy.
Right.
But they're great providers that give you an entry to finding that person that's going to help. Both of those people will probably have good referral ideas. You may need to make a referral. It may be within the system. So definitely worth talking to either your primary care professional or your headache doctor about how do I find the right person to work with.
Okay.
In addition, you can look for mental health professionals directly on your own. You may want to see what your insurance coverage is, and your insurance may have a list of mental health providers that are on their panels already.
Okay.
In addition, there's several groups that have very nice find a provider, Psychology Today, the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatrics Association, all have find a provider. So if you go to one of those big scientific organizations, they can actually help you find a provider. There's ABCT, which is going to be finding cognitive therapy, and other scientific organizations that will help you find a provider in your area. But usually the easiest way is checking who is on your insurance's panel of approved providers. You're going to look for a psychologist, social worker, mental health therapist. So they might have a PhD or a master's level. So there's a range of people that can be a therapist.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our discussion of migraine and anxiety today?
Well, as we talked about, anxiety is extremely common when living with migraine, but it doesn't have to be your reality. So if anxiety is feeling common for you, racing thoughts, tense body, feeling short-tempered and irritable, maybe you've noticed it, or maybe others have mentioned it to you. It really does affect your quality of life in a negative way. So it's very worth looking into ways to manage it. And the good news is it's really manageable with any of these approaches we talked about. Anxiety responds really well to these different approaches. And there are good ways to start to learn to kind of calm your nervous system. And while it improves anxiety, all of that is good for migraine as well, because it's just good for our nervous system. So if you're feeling anxiety that's interfering with your life and your well-being, please look into some of the treatment options and think about what you want to do to start relieving that and feeling better.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. And thank you everyone for joining us today. I hope everyone found something beneficial in what we had to say today, because I think it's just such a prevalent thing in our population, and there's so many things that we can do to combat it and to feel better. So thank you for listening, and please join us again next week on the weekly video cast and podcast of the National Headache Foundation. Bye-bye, everyone.